This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Ben, ladies and gentlemen, to 5-on-3, WFUV Sports best, if only, hockey podcast. I am Tucker Austin, joined today by Grace McCarron and Trey Rodriguez, and we have a great, great game to get into out of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. I mean, Game 4 was just absolutely ballistic. The series is now tied 2-2, going back to Edmonton for Game 5. The Florida Panthers, who I thought looked invincible after that Game 3 where they just kicked the Oilers around the ice for 60 minutes, the Oilers came back with a vengeance. The Panthers went up 3-0 in this game, but we'll get into it when we get there. First of all, Grace, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Watched all of this game last night with my dad, who was very much basically coaching the entire time. Really appreciated my dad talking to the television. That's the kind of game that was, though. You kind of had to like do a little like what's going on, because just things kept happening. Nobody really knew what was going on. And then, you know, Leon Draisaitl does his thing as per usual, but I'm really excited to talk about Stuart Skinner, because I mean, what a few months he's had. Let's just say that.
Don't even get me started about Stu, man. I feel so bad. I feel so bad for that guy. But last night was such a fun watch. I really thought they were dead to rights, the Oilers. But hey, it's playoff hockey. Surprising stuff happens all the time. But yeah, I'm just really excited to talk about the game. Been keeping up with every single game in this series, and it's just been a great Stanley Cup final so far. Everyone thought it would be anyway, but it's honestly succeeded. It's also, oh my God, succeeded expectations.
Yeah, it really, the series is living up to the hype. The rematch of the 2024 Stanley Cup final, the revenge tour for Connor McDavid. And I mean, we've been saying it on 5-on-3 for a couple of weeks now, how we think this series is going to go seven. And after the way Game 4 went, it certainly seems like we're going to get seven games out of this final. The third game out of four to go to overtime to decide the winner. And like you said, Grace, Leon Draisaitl was the man who finally put the puck through for the Oilers to get them the 5-4 win. It was a crazy goal, too. Draisaitl was only on the ice for about 6 seconds before he actually put it in. Really short shift. But he was trying to get a cross-ice feed across the front of the net in front of Bobrovsky, but kind of fans on it a little bit. But Bobrovsky bit on the pass, and he's sliding from left to right across the goal. Meanwhile, the puck bounces off of Evan Rodriguez after Draisaitl fans on it. I felt so bad for Rodriguez in that moment too, just because like he did everything he could, and still the puck just like goes off of Draisaitl's stick weird and bounces off of him, and Bobrovsky's momentum is already taking him to the right post, and the puck just kind of trickles in, and that's that. The Oilers, I would say they stole this one mainly because the Panthers went up 3-0 in the first period. But I guess now would be the time to talk about Stuart Skinner, because Skinner, he played pretty well in that first period. I mean, he was making really tough saves. There was that one early on in the first period where he slid across an open net to make a body save. But Matthew Tkachuk gets to him twice, and Lundell gets to him before the end of the period. And then out of the tunnel in the second comes Picard. Crazy decision there, some would say, by Knobloch to go with Picard over Skinner after he played a pretty decent first. But I mean, now Picard comes in and saves the game, gets him the win. Who do you go to in Game 5 now? Do you go with the hot goalie in Picard, who's on two periods where he held a really good Panthers team, or do you go back to the guy, Stuart Skinner? Grace, we'll start with you.
This is a really, really tough one, because I feel like I've been saying for the past few weeks, like one of the big factors in this Stanley Cup final is going to be the goaltending. We know Bob has been fantastic on the other side. But I feel like you might have to go with Picard just in case, if Skinner is getting in his head about this past game. He's been up and down. We know what happened against the Kings, which feels like ages ago now, but against the Kings with Skinner. He was not in tip-top shape, and then Picard got hurt after that series, and then it's been Skinner since then. And he's been, for the most part, he's been very strong, but he also has some games where you're like, that, you can't let that happen. And Stanley Cup Finals, there's literally only so many games left. So I think you probably have to go with who's hot right now. It's a tough one, and it could be tough for Skinner mentally if you decide to go with him in a game six. Like, if you have to make another change, it's tough to go back and forth like that. But for the sake of the entire team, they're still obviously very much in this thing. I think you kind of have to go with Picard here.
Yeah, I mean, as an ex roller hockey goalie, I feel for Skinner. I know what it feels like to be like that. And honestly, as you said, Tuck, he played actually a very good first period last night. And that second goalie let up was kind of brutal, but the other two, absolutely nothing could do about it. And if he didn't play the way he did the first 10 minutes of the game, his score probably could have been 6-0. But I think for next game you go to Pickard. I think really, too, it's not only just the goaltending performance, because honestly, Stuart Skinner could have played the same exact way. It's the way that the rest of the team plays around Pickard. And it kind of seems like, I don't know, it's almost like the Oilers hate Stuart Skinner. Like, he's on the ice and they don't play as strong around him. But it seems like when they have the backup goalie out, and you don't want your backup goalie out there to leave him out dry and kind of just leave him to die out there, they play really hard around him. And you can't really take out Pickard and, like, after he saved 18 shots in regulation or 17 shots in regulation, only let up that one at the end. You can't really just take him out and then put in Skinner in the next game. So I think you definitely go with Pickard the next game. If they lose, though, I say you go back to Skinner.
Yeah, and it was four unanswered goals for the Edmonton Oilers to get back into this game and take a lead in the third period. But the Panthers put one through to tie it up again before going to overtime. But then early in that overtime, it was really it was another case where Edmonton was kind of always on the front foot, and Florida just tried their best to play defensively and find holes in Edmonton's attack. Similarly to how they won game two with Brad Marchand, or I think game three. Yeah, game three. But at this time, the Oilers just got to him. There was a play, I think about 2 minutes into overtime, where Bobrovsky kind of leaked out of the crease, and he managed to like consume the puck with his body. But there were like three Florida Panthers on a knee on the goal line trying to play goalie for him.
Yeah,
It was a
that just went off the
ridiculous
post.
sequence. Yeah, really crazy sequence. But at that point, you kind of thought to yourself, like, Edmonton is going to break through here at some point. And eventually they did. And it wasn't the prettiest of goals, but a goal is a goal. When it crosses the line, it counts. And Leon Draisaitl has he's changed the face of this whole series now. Florida, I mean, by the end of the first period, this was like Florida in five, Florida in six. Now we're back to probably a seven-game series again, especially because they're going back to Edmonton. But I did say, I said the last time, or the last time I talked about hockey, I think it was on one-on-one. Florida does not care about where the game is, especially if it's on the road. But I think it's huge, huge momentum for the Oilers to steal that game and go back to Edmonton. Game five is Saturday, tomorrow, as of the recording of this podcast, June 14th at 8 p.m. On HBO Max, TNT, True TV, any of those Turner Broadcasting services. But out of the Stanley Cup talk, we do have one thing from the Metro teams that we need to touch on. Chris Kreider, Mr. Ranger, is on his way to Anaheim. The Rangers knew they needed cap space going into next year. They want to give Mike Sullivan a revamped roster that he can really hit the ground running with in the garden, but that means that some of their vets on some non-team friendly contracts in terms of their cap space need to go. And unfortunately, after a down year significantly from Chris Kreider, in his age 33 season. He kind of rose to the top of the list as like a prime candidate for getting moved off of this Rangers team. $6.5 million AAV, not something that the Rangers can sustain, especially not with the production that he was giving them. So the Rangers fans on social media have been, they've been in shambles. Shout out to Sophia Smith and Lydia Perner, WFUV, resident Ranger fans who are absolutely distraught that Kreider is gone. But Trey, we'll start with you on this one. What did you make of this trade? Like, is it really just a salary dump here? And the Rangers got a prospect in return from the Ducks, but it kind of feels like if he performs and goes to the NHL level, it's a bonus for the Rangers.
It's pretty sad. I grew up in a Rangers household, not a Rangers fan, but I do like them. And when I think of the Rangers, if I'm not thinking of Lundqvist, I'm thinking of Kreider. And I think really the main thing they lose here is that, as of right now, they're without a captain. And if there was anyone who was going to be a captain next year, it was going to be Kreider. So I don't really know who else on this roster we replace him with right now, because I don't really know what Panarin's future is looking like on the Rangers right now either. So I do think actually at the end of the day, yeah, he would be asking for too much money for the production that he'd be giving. But I just don't really know what you do now here with, you might have to take a year hiatus on captaincy really, and kind of just let things figure itself out, because really, the studs on the Rangers have not been studs. So it really sucks though seeing Kreider go, and it's going to be very unusual seeing him in the Pacific now, on the Ducks. Like, first you got Trouba going there, and now you got Kreider going there. It's like a Rangers hotline, a Rangers pipeline, the Ducks. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Kreider. I really Ojo back, but Rangers got to find another locker room leader like him now, because it's clearly something that they're lacking.
Yeah, I think generally the question with the Rangers right now is like, what is the plan? Because they're coming off this very, very disappointing season. They're getting rid of Kreider, which is a really, really sad moment in Rangers history, I think. I don't know if you guys saw Mika Zibanejad's post for Chris Kreider today on Instagram. Had me, frankly, on the verge of tears. Like, that was, and I don't even like, I'm not a Ranger fan, as you guys know, but like, that was really like a bummer. Like that you guys, they grew up like basically they grew up together a little bit. Their families grew together. Like it's bleak at the Rangers right now. This was kind of one of those things that it wasn't surprising after a while that they were going to go this direction during the season. Obviously, there were conversations about that, and that kind of caused a stir in the locker room. So overall, it's the end of an era for sure. He holds so many Rangers records, and another veteran voice gone in the locker room after Trouba left last year as well. Like it's bleak right now at MSG generally. Like just we're not really clear what they're gonna look like. There's a lot of decisions for them to make coming up. Obviously, Chris Drury is going to be making those decisions. He just signed his extension, so it's going to be interesting from a non-Ranger fan standpoint. Again, my sympathies to my Ranger fan friends, including Sophie and Lydia, because yikes, basically.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully for Lydia's sake, president of the Will Cooley fan club, self-appointed. Hopefully for her sake, this means that the Rangers have room to bring Will Cooley back. But like you said, it remains to be seen. And at the moment, see, like, it seems like a plan doesn't exist or is in development. Seems like teams in Madison Square Garden have a real issue with coming up with plans for how their team is going to go forward. Obviously, referencing the New York Knicks, who seemingly have no plan in terms of, or had no plan in terms of the next head coach of the Knicks when they fired Tom Thibodeau. But who knows? Maybe they do have a plan, and they're just seeing who's available. But either way, both teams in the Garden, very, very, like, a lot of question marks in their immediate future. Questions that need to be answered. But yeah, I can't lie. As a Devils fan, it kind of makes me happy to see the Rangers in complete shambles. Like, I'm not gonna try and hide that and kind of reveling in just the despair in Madison Square Garden, because I mean, it did. Being a Devils fan for the past like 5 years was interesting, like 1 year.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
Oh yeah, I'm a Sharks fan, man. You don't want to know.
hey, you guys are gonna get really, really fun in like 3 years, trust.
There's also, I mean, like the Islanders, we're not really clear what's going on there either. They do have the first overall pick though, so I'm just
Yeah, that at least they're
that's
clear
it.
about talent
I
that's
want
coming in
Schaefer.
from the draft. But yeah, I mean, other than that, it has been a pretty slow offseason. I'm sure things will probably pick up for the Islanders and for the Devils once the finals actually wrap up. But the Rangers are the Rangers are still active. Chris Kreider is gone. He's a Duck now. The return on the trade is Cary Terrence and a third round pick. The Ducks get a fourth rounder. Terrence is a decent prospect, but again, like I said before, it seems to be one of those like it's kind of just like a sweetener where if he does really well in like lower levels and makes his way to the NHL somehow and is like remotely talented, any of that is a plus for the Rangers in this deal. Like purely a move to make cap space so that they can continue to build this team. But really quickly before we wrap up, I want to get back to the Stanley Cup final real quick, just to get like an like updated predictions. Because like I don't know if they'll change that much. But we have a 2-2 series going to game five in Edmonton. And personally, the way that the Oilers had to win game four, I'm not that convinced that they will continue to have hyper competitive games like this, because they kind of ro they rode Pickard once he came in. They rode like the momentum of a new goalie and a switch up in net that really got things going for them. But regardless of who they go with in game five, I think the Panthers are going to get after him quick. And Sergei Bobrovsky is not going anywhere. So it's very rare that you manage to get 5 goals past Sergei Bobrovsky. His Conn Smythe is probably gone now. That's probably not happening. Just because like somebody's going to score like an OT winner and probably just get it because he had good production. Maybe it's McDavid. But I still think this is the Panthers series to win. And I think that the Panthers can do it in, I'm going to say seven. I nearly said Panthers in six, but like this has been such a competitive series. I don't think it's ridiculous that the Oilers can find another win, but I think game five will go to the Panthers in Edmonton. And I think they'll go back to Sunrise, Florida with a game away from the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I'm going to go. This is really, really tough. I'm probably going to say the same thing, actually. Panthers in seven. Definitely think it's going to go to seven. But like they don't have, obviously you said Bobrovsky is not a qu really a question mark. They don't have the question mark that the Oilers now have at goalie. Like, so that kind of leads me to believe that that's going to help them out. Obviously also the fact that they are so great on offense, kind of just great at everything. They have this insane depth that they didn't even have as much of last year when they won the cup. And the fact that the being on the road doesn't seem to bother them at all. They've been fantastic on the road this entire run through the playoffs. So all of those factors combined, I'm gonna go Panthers. I feel like they have a little bit of an edge, but the Oilers, I mean, we see like what just McDavid and Draisaitl can do, and they have a lot of other fantastic hockey players on that team. My one concern with them is Skinner, Picard, what's going to happen there? Is it sustainable if they go with Calvin Picard the next game and then go back to Stu if he struggles? I don't know if this is sustainable and the way to a cup when you're facing a team like the Panthers. So I'm going to go Panthers in seven, but would not be entirely surprised if it's Oilers in seven.
My heart tells me to pick the Oilers, but my brain tells me to pick the Panthers. And I think I'm going to be different from you guys here. I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to pick the Oilers. And, I think really it's going to come down to actually whoever wins next game. I think will be a very big, I think that might be the series decider. But, I think When it comes down to Oilers, they have to just fix one thing, I think, that will really I trust Pickard. I trust him to play well. He's been 7-0 now in these playoffs. He clearly shows up when it matters. You know, it doesn't look like he does. He always looks so nervous in net, but he doesn't let in goals, so it's going good for him. But I think that if they are to limit their penalties a lot, Evander Kane cannot play anymore. He needs to be benched for the series, I think. He's been terrible. If they limit their penalties, which is really what Florida mainly scores on, I think they have a really good shot at winning this series. And I mean, Drysdale's just been on a tear. But I think really their keys to victory are limiting the penalties, and then Pickard needs to keep on playing the way he is playing these playoffs, and then also I think McDavid actually needs to step it up a little bit as well. I've been a bit disappointed in him. He needs to shoot the puck a bit more. But I think if they do that, I think they can totally win. Because I think at one point, as long as the discipline comes in, I think the Panthers will find it a bit hard to score. So I don't know, but like what you guys were saying, how you guys think you would not be surprised if the Oilers were to win. I would not be surprised at all if the Panthers were to win. At the end of the day, I do think they are the more sound team, but I think I'm going with the Oilers here regardless.
This is one of, if not the best, playoff series we've seen in hockey in the past 4 or 5 years, especially for a final. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I actually love that take too, because the Oilers' PK during the regular season was third worst in the NHL. So Darnell Nurse has also taken a high sticking penalty in two straight games. I think that that just about wraps us up today. 4 or 5 on 3. I mean, we covered just about everything that we could out of Game 4, heading into Game 5. But I'm glad I finally won at least one grace over to think the Panthers are going to win. Everybody was picking the Oilers at the start of this series, and I was still riding with the Panthers the whole time. But really excited for Game 5 tomorrow night, June 14th. 8 p.m. But for Trey Rodriguez and for Grace McCarron tonight, I have been Tucker Austin, and 5 on 3 is a production of WFUV Sports. We'll catch you guys in the next one.